from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro. Coming up, summer fruit season is upon us, but do you know those cherries and peaches you bought at a premium at the farmer's market are really organic or local? Last year, a TV team in Los Angeles found established vendors selling conventional produce as organic, some claiming produce as their own when they bought it from wholesalers. We'll talk to state regulators about moves to expand enforcement at farmer's markets around the state. That's next on Forum. From KQED Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro, in today for Michael Krasny. Fans of fresh, local, organic produce can find a farmer's market any day of the week in the Bay Area. They range from San Francisco's venerable Alemany Market to the relatively newer and definitely more upscale Ferry Building to dozens of markets and parking lots and elementary schools across the land. But with a boom comes a temptation for some vendors to commit fraud. Who's checking to make sure that box of premium-priced blueberries is really organic, that the farmer from Marin is selling his own produce from Marin? How many gotcha reports in the media will it take before consumers lose trust in the markets? After one such report in L.A., state regulators held public comment meetings all over the state in recent months, and an advisory committee proposed raising vendor fees to pay for beefier enforcement, but that plan appears to have disappeared from a bill moving through Sacramento. Joining us now to discuss this issue, we have Ben Feldman, Program Manager for Farmers Markets at the Ecology Center in Berkeley, Claudia Reed, Policy Director at the California Certified Organic Farmers, David Karp, author of the Market Watch column for the Los Angeles Times food section, and Noelle Kramers, Director of the Natural Resources and Commodities part of the California Farm Bureau Federation. David Karp, let's start with you. Can you sort of bring us up to speed as to how this issue first came to light?
Well, some 10 years ago, I published cover stories in the Los Angeles Times talking about the fact that a lot of the vendors who were selling so-called local, fresh, organic produce were actually trying to cash in on the cachet of that and buying their produce at wholesale. Last year, Joel Grover of NBC LA TV published a series of exposés on television going into the same issue that caught a lot of attention. At that point, the CDFA held listening sessions, appointed a technical planning committee, which came up with a report, which was accepted by the Certified Farmers Market Advisory Committee that advises the state program. And that suggested raising the fee that each farmer pays per stall day from the current 60 cents. Now, that pays only just for a skeleton crew, just for basically a bureaucrat and maybe one-sixth of an inspector per year, very, very little, raising that fee to up to as high as $4, the exact amount to be set by the Certified Farmers Market Advisory Committee, which meets quarterly and consists of farmers, farmers market managers, public customers, et cetera. That, however, failed to gain traction because, according to Senator Anthony Canella, Republican of Ceres, who heads the state Senate Agriculture Committee, he didn't receive enough comments in favor of that program, or at least they did not receive uniform comments in favor of at least potentially raising the fee to as high as $4, which would, for the first time, fund an effective enforcement program that would go to state inspectors, that would go also to subsidizing the county system of inspectors, which is the front line of defense against cheaters, and is sorely underfunded at this point. It would also go to upgrading their computer system and to providing funds for farmers market manager training. Right now, we are stalled. The bill SB 513 has passed the state Senate. It next has gone to the Assembly, where it's passed its first reading. That bill deals with two things. One is with grease renderers, nothing to do with farmers markets, and the other is renewing the state certified farmers market system. That system the authorization sunsets every 5 years, and so it would expire at the end of the year. That doesn't mean that farmers markets would go away. They just wouldn't be supervised under state auspices. It's important that that bill pass But right now, there has apparently has not been enough pressure to gain any kind of traction towards increased funding of enforcement.
Well, we're going to dig into the politics in greater depth in just a moment. But I do want to point out that you are on a cell phone because you are at the Santa Monica Farmers Market, which is really considered one of the top-notch farmers markets in Southern California. And when I first started following your reports in the Los Angeles Times and telling other friends I had who shop at farmers markets, their routine answer was, not at my market, not at my market. And certainly many of them were saying that about the Santa Monica Farmers Market. But as you've recently pointed out, even there, that we've found incidences of fraud.
Lauren knows that there are occasional incidences of fraud down here, but she's dead set and tracking down anybody who's up to no good.
And we should mention you're talking about Laura Avery, who is the director of that market.
Exactly. Thank you. There are other farmers, market managers who would like to do that, but they don't necessarily have the resources of the city of Santa Monica, or they don't have the knowledge. I've spoken to a lot of very honest, well-intentioned people who say, look, I just don't have the time to drive 400 miles to see whether they're really growing those cherries or not. And in fact, I have an article coming out shortly, a cover story in the Los Angeles Times. I went on a visit to three dairy growers in the Napomo area, and there's no way from a cursory visit that you could tell whether they're actually growing. Certainly they're growing berries right now, but the new mantra from farmers market managers is do the math, because what a lot of cheaters do, if they supplement, yes, they're growing something for show, but you, the casual observer, the customer, the farmers market manager who doesn't have a training in fruit and vegetable science, there's no way that you would necessarily be able to tell the difference. It's complex. You've got to look at the load sheets, which we only have down here in Southern California. I don't believe they have them in Northern California, at least in all markets, which are records of sales. Compare that with the agricultural commissioner's estimates of yearly sales and see if the math adds up.
With that, David, let's go now to Claudia Reed with the California Certified Organic Farmers. Claudia, what do you make of what you're hearing here?
Well, I'd like to clarify, first of all, there are two different certification systems that you're discussing. One is a state one, and that is for the Certified Farmers Market. The other one is for Certified Organic. That's a federal program. They're very different programs. At CCOF, we are deputized to inspect for the National Certified Organic Farmers Program, and we have voluntarily instituted a new farmers market inspection program where we are working only with our own certified clients who sell at farmers markets, and we have quite a few of them who do that, to make sure they understand the law and to make sure that they're compliant with the display and signage components of the law. We don't have a position on the aspect of SB 513 that David mentioned regarding increasing the fees. We would leave that decision up to our own individual members who sell at farmers markets, but we are in support of SB 513 and have indicated that support to Mr. Canella's staff.
Do you find, as organics become more popular, that newcomers, Johnny-come-latelys, are proving less, shall we say, politically or socially dedicated to the purity of the cause?
No, I actually find the opposite. Our consumers are so sophisticated and fierce about the integrity of the organic label. And they're the ones that we serve, and they're the ones that we are daily thinking about, including postings on our Facebook account and so on and so forth. And so all of the staff here in this office work for basically two audiences. One is our certified members, and the other is the consumer, without whom we wouldn't have a business.
Noelle Kramers, let me ask you of the California Farm Bureau Federation, what is your sense of the legislation making its way through Sacramento right now?
We are supportive of the legislation moving forward. Typically, just to give your listeners an idea, a lot of CDFA, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, a lot of their programs have sunsets, and that gives the farmers an opportunity to provide input on a regular basis through the legislature. So every 5 years, that program is, a bill is introduced to extend the sunset, and so people can come to the legislature and express their opinion on how that program is being run. And we think that makes sure that the programs are run for what's best for the farmer and what's best for the consumer. And so SB 513 was actually introduced as part of this typical process. It just so happened that it was introduced at the same time as these stories coming out about fraud in farmers markets. California Farm Bureau wants to make sure that what's being sold at a farmer's market to our consumers is what consumers think they're buying. Our farmers want to make sure that fraud isn't there, and we've been working with CDFA to try and design a program that will allow that to happen. So what we've expressed to the senator is, let's look at the program and see how we can redesign it to make sure that enforcement is improved.
How likely
but $4
is,
might not yeah. be the right level.
But between 60 cents and $4, there's a great big swath of land, so to speak. I mean, could not a compromise be found, $2 perhaps, $2.50, before the next opportunity arrives in a program sunsetting to up the enforcement fees?
Well, I think that there are opportunities, just because 513, if it didn't include fees, that doesn't preclude going back to the legislature next year and introducing a bill with a well-designed program. What we have expressed both to the senator and CDFA is, let's sit down and take that $4 proposal that the Technical Advisory Committee came up with and flesh it out more. There were questions raised at the advisory committee. It was unsure about how often CDFA inspectors would be going out to the farmers markets, what they'd be doing, how often they'd be going and checking the farms. David brings up a great point. Do the math. It is really hard to know, are the number of berry bushes on this farm producing the amount that's being sold? That takes time to figure that out. And so we think that farmers need an opportunity to sit down with CDFA and figure out the right program and figure out how much that's going to cost. And so we think a little more time is necessary to have those conversations.
Let's turn now to Ben Feldman, who is a program manager for the farmers markets that the Ecology Center in Berkeley runs, has run since 1987. Ben, listening to this discussion, it's very easy to wonder if every single consumer has to go sleep over, visit, eat dinner with every single farmer to know for sure that that each one is legit. How do you guys enforce what seems to be somewhat unenforceable?
Well, you know, as Dan said, we do the math. That's one of the things we do. We do have load sheets. They are a requirement statewide, actually. We take those in every day at the end of the market. We look at them. We have trained staff at our markets. Our staff, all of our staff have worked on or with farms, so they have a sense of what's realistic, what's appropriate for the season. So when they see things, you know, the first cherries of the season, they know what's a reasonable time for those cherries to be coming out. And if they're coming out a little bit early, then, you know, that doesn't mean necessarily that that farm is cheating, but it may mean that it's been a warm season. Or so we have things that may send up red flags, and then we do additional investigative work to figure that out. It doesn't always mean that we need to go visit the farm, but sometimes we do need to visit the farm, and we do regular farm inspections. So I think for consumers, there's a, you know, if consumers want to be confident that they're buying directly from farmers markets or directly from farmers at farmers markets, they to some extent need to take a certain amount of responsibility for that and ask those questions of farms, ask some of the pointed questions, and talk to farmers market staff as well. Certainly at our market, that's part of what our staff is there to do, is to engage with the public and help answer those questions. To find out, you know, to look at things and figure out which farmers markets maybe are doing a better job of ensuring that farmers that are selling at their markets are indeed selling the products that they grew.
Without naming names, can you take us through perhaps a recent red flag incident at one of the markets that you're involved in overseeing, to just kind of explain what caught your eye and how you went about dealing with it?
Well, I'll give you one really blatant example, and that was I was walking through the market, and one of our vendors at the end had some onions, and I was handing out load sheets at the beginning of the day, which is a typical part of the day, and I happened to notice that the onions had stickers on them, which is, you know, these are the stickers that are the price lookup stickers that are used in grocery stores, and they have a code on them, and they're used by checkers in order to put that number into the system so that they don't have to continually change the price, or they don't have to remember the changed price. Now, there does exist a slight possibility that a farm could, with a reasonable basis, have price lookup stickers on product that they grew themselves, but it's definitely an unlikely situation for most farms. It would require them to have a packing house and the product to have been sent through the packing house and then ended up going to the farmer's market. I knew for a fact that this farm didn't have a packing house. So ultimately what ended up happening in that situation is the farm acknowledged that they didn't indeed grow those onions. They were suspended for a period of time because it was the first time that happened with them. We didn't have a history of problems. And we had visited the farm and felt confident about most of the product that they were growing. So they were suspended and then they returned to the market later.
And how long was that suspension?
In that case, that suspension was 6 weeks.
David Karp, we can't all be pomologists. How are we supposed to identify when something is, as a consumer, when something is 2 weeks too early, or it's odd that that particular varietal is coming from that particular part of the state? Isn't there a limit to what we can expect consumers to know?
Exactly. You cannot expect the consumer to be their own police, their own detective. The knowledge is too complex, the growing areas, the varieties, the cultural practices, is it from a greenhouse or not? Even farmers market managers who are well-versed in these things don't know themselves until they undertake what can be an intricate and complex investigation. So we should not put this on the consumer. And by the way, I'd like to bring attention to the fact that that's ultimately where the buck stops. That's who's being defrauded. My best guess is that some $300 million a year of produce are sold at California's 700-plus certified farmers markets. My best guess is that at least 10%, probably more like 20% of that is produce not of those farmers' own production. So we're talking about a minimum of $30 million of fraud. We're also talking about if it were to the $4 stall fee were to be implemented, and the current proposal, by the way, is not for $4, just to allow up to $4. So it's very important to understand that if it were to go through by some chance right now, allowing the CDFA to advise to be advised by the California Farmers Market Advisory Committee that they wanted $4, then they could go that high. If we have a cap of $4, we could do $2, $2.50, a dollar, whatever it was that was the consensus of the industry.
Noel Kramers, let me put this to you. David Karp's numbers are pretty big, 20% fraud. I mean, that could be enough to scare away consumers from farmers markets in particular. Do you feel any sense of urgency to jump on this and come up with perhaps an imperfect plan just to get the ball rolling?
I do feel a sense of urgency, and I would agree with David that it is not the consumer's responsibility to ensure that the farmer is selling what they say they're selling. However, consumers should be educated and have an understanding of what they're buying and seasons. I think most consumers that shop at farmers markets, I shop at a farmers market regularly, want to buy seasonally, and so they should have some sense. However, one of the things that I think is necessary is to identify the level of fraud. I have a hard time believing that it would be 20%, but I don't have the facts to back that up. So I think the first step, and we've talked to CDFA about this, is figuring out kind of a base level. Let's get a sense of the fraud that's out there. That will help us design the program. CDFA has actually changed their inspection program within their existing resources to improve it and look more at what's here on the table being sold, go back to the farm, is that what's being grown, rather than just looking at a certificate. Every farmer that sells at a farmer's market has to get a certificate that's provided by the county agricultural commissioner saying what they grow and what they can sell at a farmer's market. Historically, CDFA would just look at that certificate and make sure that it was accurate. They've changed to do more of an inspection of valuable to a consumer. are the strawberries here being grown on this farm? Are they in the right season? Asking those questions. I don't think that it's that we need to put together an imperfect program. I think it's more important to get it right. And I don't think it will take so long that consumers will be significantly defrauded. And I want consumers to have faith in farmers markets. We have wonderful farmers in California. We grow nearly 400 different commodities that are healthy and very tasty. And I want consumers to have that confidence that they know when they go to farmers markets that they're buying good California-grown product.
Claudia Reed, let me put this question to you, the California Certified Organic Farmers, first. It's a bit of a bombshell. I'm just wondering if consumers are better off bypassing farmers markets in favor of places like the Berkeley Bowl, Rainbow Market, or dare I say it, Whole Foods, where presumably there are people whose 9-to-5 job is to know what consumers may not know.
This is a personal response to your question. I personally totally agree with what Noel just said, and CCOF feels very strongly that what consumers need is a choice, a variety of places where they can purchase organic goods. If they want local seasonal organic goods, one of the best places to do that is at a certified farmers market. If they want organic processed goods any time of the year, a great place to purchase those kinds of goods would be at a retail setting. You are right in assuming that Whole Foods and other retail settings do have people on staff who work with their certifier, in this case it's us, to make sure that they are complying with the federal rule. But, pardon me, it's also true that retailers, especially in the natural and organic food retail system, do purchase food from local farmers, and they do. We do inspect to make sure they meet those organic rules and regulations. The consumers just need to have a choice, and they need to be assured that when they go shopping, what they're paying for is what they've been told they got.
Ben Feldman, what do you have to say on the matter?
Well, I think the important thing to keep in mind there is the reason the fraud is happening to begin with is because people want to be purchasing directly from farms. They want to be able to know the farm. They want to be able to buy produce that farmer grew directly from that farmer, maybe even talk to them about it, talked about the carrots in their own backyard. So, you know, the solution to the problem isn't going ahead and avoiding farmers markets, because there is no direct relationship when you go to a retail outlet. Farmers don't have that opportunity. So I don't think that's the solution. And, you know, I would agree. I don't think rushing forward with an imperfect system. I mean, what we have now is an imperfect system. We already have that imperfect system. So I think, you know, we should take the time and get it right. And so I think that's, you know, appropriate not to rush into that. And I would also like to say, I wasn't trying to suggest that customers need to take the only ones who are responsible, but, you know, ultimately they do need to take a certain amount of responsibility for their own food.
We'll continue our conversation about farmers markets after a short break. If you'd like to add your question or comment, we'd love to have it. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. We also read all of our email. Email us at forum@kqed.org or join the discussion online at kqed.org/forum. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Michael Krasny, and you're listening to KQED Public Radio. Stay with us. Hello again. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Michael Krasny here on Forum, where we are discussing this half hour farmers markets and enforcement, how to make sure that you're buying what you think you're buying. We're taking caller comments and questions. Please email us at forum@kqed.org. Go online to kqed.org/forum or call us at 866-733-6786. We're talking this hour with Ben Feldman, Program Director for Farmers Markets at the Ecology Center in Berkeley, Claudia Reed, Policy Director at the California Certified Organic Farmers, David Karp, author of the Market Watch column for the Los Angeles Times food section, and Noel Kramers, Director of Natural Resources and Commodities for the California Farm Bureau Federation. Let's go now to our first caller, Shlomo from Oakland.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. My question is this. Because I am someone who buys organic, and I am really not concerned about what farm it comes from, whether they, somehow it is authentic, my concern is, are there organic produce being sold? And so, because that's my overwhelming concern, I would like to see if there is a testing regime to test for pesticide residues and the substances that would eliminate the produce from being organic. And if there is not such a testing regime, I think there should be, because this is the primary concern, of, as far as I can see, of everybody who buys organic. And what farm is producing what is a lesser concern.
Well, thank you very much for those questions, Shlomo. Let me put those to David Karp of the Los Angeles Times. What kind of testing is going on?
You know, inspectors do come to farmers' markets and throughout the state and test for pesticide residues. I've noticed that going on at least for the last couple of years and probably for longer than that. Of course, the individual certifying organizations like CCOF is really the gold standard when it comes to that. There are others that, at least according to what I've heard, are less assiduous in testing to make sure that the farmers actually are not using prohibited pesticides. So it's also up to the farmers market managers to verify that the farmers who are representing themselves as organic, either informally in conversation or with signs, are actually doing what they're claiming that they're doing.
Let me put this question to you, but Ben Feldman, who's policing the farmers market directors? If you're not doing your job well, what kind of cop comes after you?
So we do get visits from both state and county inspectors, and I should point out that most of the enforcement on this happens actually at the county level. You know, we've been talking about the state a little bit and the state programs and these increased fees for the state, but most of it happens at the county level. So we have county agricultural inspectors who come out to inspect our farmers market and make sure that we are doing our job. And there are certain penalties where if the farm isn't doing their job, the farm may be fined, but there are also penalties where if the farmer's market management isn't doing their job, where we can be fined as well.
Are there informal comments? Is there gossip between farmer's market directors about who's doing a better job than others?
I think people certainly talk about, you know, which markets have reputations. I don't know that I would call it gossip per se, but it definitely, there's conversations about. And a lot of times they're constructive conversations about how do you do your enforcement and, you know, how often do you do inspections? How do you do them? Do you visit immediately after? And they can be very helpful conversations to improve what we're all doing.
David Karp of the LA Times, just a question here about regional differences. Do you have any sense whether the problem of fraud is greater in Southern California or greater in the Central Valley than it is in Northern California? Or do we really not know?
I don't think we really know for sure. I know for sure down here in Southern California because I've been to over 100 certified farmers markets down here, and I can get a pretty good, I certainly can't tell for sure each and individual case of cheating, but I can get a sense going to a farmers market that a lot of the vendors there have been suspended in the past for cheating, that I'm seeing things that are unlikely to be authentic produce from those farms. And there's a wide variation here, even within Southern California. Between some markets are very well supervised and others, there's virtually no supervision whatsoever. I have spoken, to answer your question directly, to farmer friends of mine in Northern and Central California who say that cheating is roughly on the same scale up there as down here. But again, that's hearsay. I know down here in Southern California because I'm a fruit specialist and I know what should be on the table. And I can guarantee you that there's a minimum of 10% of cheating down here and very likely more than that.
And you say that because you're just guessing from your own visits, you know, that 1 out of 10, that's what you've seen personally?
Yeah, that's a bare minimum.
With that, let's go now to Leah in San Rafael.
Yes. Hi, good morning. This is Leah Smith, and I work with Agricultural Institute of Marin, and we run 8 certified farmers markets in the Bay Area. And the reason for my call-in is that I wanted to share with listeners and the certified farmers market community that we have started our own farm audit program called AIM Checked, And we have taken it upon ourselves because we felt frustrated with the lack of oversight by the state and county ag departments, that we have now started our own program where we actually go to the market, we do our own inspection at the market, we follow that all the way to the farm and then back to the market, and we do a check, you know, a very thorough check, including photographs and documentation and comparing the CPC, the Certified Producer Certificate, that is up at their stall at the market to what they have in their field. And that's a very critical part of confirming and verifying that a farmer has actually is selling what they grew themselves. And that's a something for the state and the counties to consider, is there needs to be this tie-in between what's being sold at the market and what's being grown on the field. And in fact, when certified producer certificates are issued, there needs to be an inspection at the time the certificate is issued. Some certificates are actually issued by farmers calling in over the phone or sending in a list of what they have in their field. When those types of certificates are issued, there's been no verification. So we do need to revamp our system. And I served on the Certified Farmers Market Advisory Committee and was part of the discussions of revamping the program. And certainly many good ideas came out of that. We are supportive of increased enforcement by the counties and the state, but it needs to be a really tight program. One of the other panelists in your program today mentioned that, yes, we support it, but it needs to be done right.
Well, Noelle Kramer, let me ask you of the California Farm Bureau Federation. Perhaps the state level is too far up into the atmosphere. Perhaps it's better to have local or regional certification systems in place, where everybody knows everybody on a first-name basis.
Well, California agricultural system is governed by CDFA and the county agricultural commissioners, and they work very closely together. So if CDFA has a program, they may contract some of those inspections to happen with the county inspectors. Leah brought up the point about the need to have an inspection every time a certificate is issued. Well, if a county ag commissioner knows a farmer, has known the farmer for 20 years, drives past the farm on his way to work every day, maybe it isn't necessary for him to go out and inspect because he sees the walnut trees on his drive into work every day. So he already knows that. So I think that's the sort of conversation that we need to have, is what sort of system is necessary. But you do bring up a good point, because what works for a farmer's market in Marin may not work for a farmer's market in Shasta County. And so there may need to be slight variations in how it's put together statewide.
Ben Feldman, any thoughts about purchasing a bunch of baby monitors for every farm that that feeds your market?
I was just thinking about that. You know, the inspector, the ag commissioner, may drive past the farm every day and have known that farmer for 20 years. And, to some extent, that makes me think that I have a certain amount of concern about that, because sometimes we do call an ag inspector and we ask, what did this farmer have in the field? What does this farmer have in the field? And the ag inspectors feel as though we're out, we're out to get the farmer. Whereas we're just trying to verify it and make sure that there's confidence by our consumers in the system. But because those ag inspectors have a relationship with that farmer, they don't want to be the one to be doing the enforcement. So sometimes there needs to be additional oversight for the ag inspectors as well.
That's an interesting point. David Karp, thoughts on that? I mean, I suppose it could also be true that when relationships are too personal, sympathy might lead somebody to overlook a situation they know isn't quite right.
That's a very good point. And in fact, I've spoken to numerous farmers market managers in Southern California, and these are integrity-oriented managers, I should qualify, who, when I've pointed out that a certain farm very likely is cheating, they've said, oh, my God, that's going to leave a huge hole in my market. So there is an intrinsic conflict of interest between farmers market managers are beholden. They have several constituencies. One is their farmers themselves. One is the public. That should be the ultimate constituency, in my opinion. And one is, of course, just their own salary and the functioning of their market. The same thing with the county agricultural commissioners. In very many cases, I've called them, and they've actually told me point blank, we're not interested in catching cheaters. They look upon that as a victimless crime. I don't look on it as a victimless crime at all. That's why we need supervision at state level. What is really needed, what was proposed by the Technical Planning Committee's plan, was one inspector from Northern, one from Central, and one from Southern California. That would be account for a third of the approximately $1.5 million that would be raised if the fee were set at $4 per stall fee per farmer selling at each market. A third of the fees would go to overhead, and a lot of people have a problem with that, and a third of the fee would go to subsidizing county agricultural commissioners' inspections, because we need interaction, cooperation between the state level, which supervises, and the county agricultural commissioners, which are responsible for frontline enforcement.
Is that enough, people?
It's barely enough. I think, however, that it's the same principle as when you see a cop by the side of the highway, that everybody slows down. Just the fact that there is for the first time some kind of credible enforcement will keep people from cheating blatantly and errantly in the way that they've been doing, at least in Southern California.
You know, the other thing in all of this that I think is important to keep in mind is a lot of the existing system and a lot of some of the proposed changes make it basically they punish the good farmers while effectively letting the cheaters continue to cheat. You know, the load sheet system. Every farm is required to do that. If a farm is really committed to misrepresenting their product, it's easy enough for them to continue to write information on their load sheet that's also incorrect, that's also cheating. Whereas it's a burden to some extent to farmers that are committed to selling, you know, authentically product that they grew themselves. So I think the system also needs to be designed in such a way that it's effective at catching the people who are misrepresenting their product without overly burdening those people who are committed to doing it right.
Let's go now to Carol in Santa Rosa.
Yes. I have a neighbor and who's a good neighbor and a friend, so no names, but she has chickens. She honestly has chickens, and she takes them and is all registered with the county and everything, and she takes them to the farmer's market and sells them. Well, when the chickens don't lay because it's been real cold lately, or she wants to extend the season 2 or 3 weeks one way or another, she goes over to Safeway and she buys organic eggs. She doesn't cheat that way. She puts them in her funky containers and sells them. In other words, the Safeway organic eggs are about $3 a dozen, and she gets $7 to $8 a dozen at the various farmers markets. And to be very honest, in the winter, she hires somebody to feed her chickens, and she travels all winter long and is doing quite well.
Oh, my. Well, Claudia Reed, what do you have to say on hearing that?
Thank you for asking me. I just, within the last few days, checked with the CDFA staff person in charge of how to file a complaint on this kind of a situation, because we actually had one of our members notice similar behavior by a meat producer at a farmer's market where he sells, and he was suspicious. There is a complaint process. You can look it up on the CDFA website. And I highly recommend to everybody, even if you know the person, the complaint can be filed anonymously. You do have to provide the date, the location, the time, and what you saw happening, and it will be followed up by the state regulators. This is the kind of thing that CCOF is working on. We do have our own inspection program for our own members, and we look for signage and display accuracies, and again, for compliance with the national program.
We should mention that Paul has written in and recommended that you visit a farm's Facebook page and read reviews on Yelp. But I wonder there again, Claudia, you know, whether you run into people's information or lack thereof when they're assessing somebody. Because, you know, certainly I've read, say, restaurant reviews by people who don't really know the cuisine they're talking about. They have a strong sense of the value of their opinion, but they might not really know what they're talking about.
Personally, I would not only depend on a Facebook or a Yelp review. But I have the privilege of living in a community where there are a lot of farms nearby, and I do get to know them through my work. So I have a little bit of an advantage over a lot of consumers. Again, the best way, as Ben, I think, mentioned, the best way is to go visit the farmers' markets before you start purchasing. Talk to the people who are behind the counter and get to know them. Learn a little bit about your own community. The issues that we see in our own inspection program that is internal have to do with lack of understanding of the laws. So even our own farmers are not quite clear on the California Certified Farmers Market Law, which is in some ways vague and difficult to interpret. And they're required to interpret it within the context of the federal law, which is very specific, certainly about the use of the word organic. So what we do is we train our members for how to use their signage and their certificates, and we train them how to talk to a vendor in the next booth over who might be doing something incorrectly, and we train them on how to get in touch with the regulator when they see some activity occurring that is against the law.
This next comment comes from Damien, who we should mention is a doctoral candidate in agricultural and resource economics at UC Berkeley, who says, all right, so he ends up buying peaches that are full of pesticides. He views that as a small cost and not a reason to impose a mandatory certification program. Let me buy from growers I choose, says Damien. And if some growers want to go through a voluntary certification program, fine. Let consumers who want that request that. Let this problem work itself out rather than rushing for a legislative solution. David Karp, what about that argument?
I don't agree with that at all. My best guess is that there's a minimum of $30 million in fraud that goes on yearly at Southern California Certified Farmers Markets. We're talking about even if the $4 cap were maxed out, that's what was actually being charged, and that's not necessarily going to be the case. That would amount to $1.5 million yearly. I think that's 5% of the $30 million of fraud. It's the responsibility. This is exactly what government is supposed to be doing, to making sure that customers can go and buy from certified farmers markets and have at least a good chance that they're going to be getting what they're paying for. I know a lot about produce, and I get ripped off all the time. I find out only years later, often, when a producer is suspended, that person that I thought was actually providing organic broccoli has actually been buying it wholesale.
Yeah.
I think that that's absolutely critical to protect our consumers. They have a right to that. When I go, say, to the supermarket and want to buy wild salmon, I don't want to have to send it to a test lab myself. That's not my responsibility. Trained experts should be approaching this task.
With that, let's go now to Nicholas in Mill Valley.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm not an expert in legislating or regulating this environment. I'm a farmer in Southern California. I have over 20 acres of avocados. I have about 8 acres of Seville oranges and several dozen acres of culinary herbs grown both indoor and outdoor. And all I can tell you is that the market system, specifically in Southern California, is rampant with fraud, as your guest is indicating. I suspect the size of the fraud is actually larger than the numbers he's quoting. Getting into the farmers market themselves is a political process, which I've given up on. I just don't want to participate in it. I visit the markets with my family because it's fun to go to them. But when you see mangoes and bananas and strawberries next to walnuts, you know that those are just big red flags that something's got to be asked. Farmers don't farm in that manner. Not to mention the cash aspect of the sales. I mean, there's another layer of fraud there with respect to reporting income. The entire thing is a sham in my view. I have a very little respect for the operators as a whole. There are some good ones. I have very little respect for a lot of the farmers that are around there. Some of them are very good. But if you go in there and you think you're buying from farmers, you've deluded yourself.
Ben Fellman, let me put this to you. Is it possible that the system, because it has kind of grown up organically, so to speak, is it perhaps a little too cozy? Perhaps it is hard for a new farmer to break in, or as you mentioned earlier, relationships make it easy to overlook certain things you know may not be kosher.
Well, if you're asking about the question of getting into farmers markets, you know, we do hear this come up regularly. And you know, ultimately, we have a certain amount of space that we can put our farmers market in. And, you know, after operating those markets for a number of years, we fill that space and we want to have that space filled all the time. So, you know, what happens is a new market, it can be hard to recruit vendors to participate in. By the time the market matures into something that a lot of people want to participate in, the people who've done the work to build it up want to stay in that market with good reason. So a lot of the well-established farmers markets are difficult to get into. And I think it's important for vendors and people to understand that, you know, it's a very difficult decision for us to make. And we want to be able to support our farms. So we tell them that once they're in, they're pretty much in until they choose not to be in or they, you know, violate some of our rules. So, you know, we do hear this concern is that it's hard to get into, but, you know, there's only so much space that we have for those vendors. And, we don't, someone once suggested that we should turn those spots over every couple of years, which, to me doesn't make a lot of sense for anybody really. So, and then as to whether or not, the relationships get too cozy, I mean, I think I suggested that sometimes that does happen. You know, we try to enforce our rules consistently and across the board. And when we get complaints from customers or, you know, as the caller mentioned, her neighbor, we investigate those. And I think it's also important to keep in mind that there are sometimes someone has a perception of how things work. You know, the assurance that a farm can't grow mangoes, and walnuts. I was surprised the first time one of our growers, had mangoes, and to be honest, I was shocked. It wasn't until going down and seeing the trees that I understood how that works. So I think it's important for people to keep in mind that their own assumptions about how things work aren't always the way it plays out either.
Let me ask you, if there was one thing you could see happen in Sacramento that would make your job in enforcement easier, what would that be?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing for us is knowing that when we call an ag inspector at the county level with a legitimate concern and are able to show, potentially even show some evidence, that we can expect them to go to the farm that day that we place the call and get back to us with some sort of documentation, whether that be pictures or poundage or, you know, that we actually really get the questions that we're asking answered.
That day, I'm trying to picture, would the state have to purchase a helicopter, so, you know, an emergency response team? That seems pretty
well.
Pretty
I'm talking
tough
about when I
pickings.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about when I talk to a county. So, you know, I'm not asking someone out of Sacramento to fly down to Ventura County. I'm talking about when I call the county inspector in Ventura. Which I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that they could have someone on staff available to make a farm visit sometime that day or, okay, fine, the next day.
With that,
they often don't.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just
David,
put in
yes.
one thing? David Karp here. Very often they just don't have the staff. They're severely underfunded. As it is, the farmers market program costs these counties more than the revenue that they derive from the minimal fees that they charge to farmers. So often inspectors are just not available. That's what the new state-funded program actually would provide for.
You know, it does seem, and let me put this to you, Noel Kramers, you know, when we say county, some of the counties in California are huge. You know, it might be more than a day trip to get to the source of the question.
Yes, it is a challenge, and we do have to recognize that we're having this discussion in a larger budgetary situation that California is facing right now. So CDFA is taking a $15 million cut from their general fund budget this year. We'll have to take another $15 million next year. And that's separate from the discussion about whether or not the governor is able to get votes to do a tax extension. So David is right. Ag commissioners and CDFA don't have a lot of extra inspectors to do those inspections right now, which is why we think it is important to have this conversation, because we probably do need to increase the fees and revise the enforcement system. We just want to see that done in a proper manner. And you're right, there are some counties that are very large. San Bernardino comes to mind, where traveling could be a challenge to get out to the farm that day. But that is the value of the county system, is they're much closer than inspectors in Sacramento.
Claudia Reed, given the budget crisis, given the pace of reform in Sacramento, it sounds like we're asking consumers to basically figure out which are the most well-regarded farmers markets in their local areas and all crowd into the same ones, which seems like it might create a situation where the weaker farmers markets die.
Yes, that is a concern. In fact, Sacramento is renowned for having a huge number of farmers markets that are available to us in the regional area that we live in and farm in. And some of the farmers markets that I visited, where I'm not looking at the issues that David talks about, but I'm looking at the signage issues having to do with certified organic, are struggling. It's sad to see that, because a great number of our small farm clients, the only marketing they do is through the farmers market. So we don't like to see too many farmers markets being established. But it does take a few years to get a really good, healthy farmers market going, as Ben mentioned. It takes a while to solicit vendors and to train them and teach them and work with them.
With that, I want to thank all of our guests for joining us today. We just heard Claudia Reed, Policy Director with the California Certified Organic Farmers, Ben Feldman, Program Manager for Farmers Markets for the Ecology Center in Berkeley, David Karp, author of the Market Watch column for the Los Angeles Times Food Section, and Noel Kramers, Director of Natural Resources and Commodities for the California Farm Bureau Federation. You've been listening to me, Rachel Miro, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Tina Lauerberg. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Thank you so much for joining us. Michael Krasny will be back tomorrow.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.